1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's stand together for the reading of the Bible. We'll read down through the end of the chapter, and of course, through the inspired inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we see Paul write back to a church that he had planted as a missionary effort. Now he's writing back to this church, verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins alway, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy." Heavenly Father, Lord, may we become aware of the devices of Satan. Help us, Lord, to be educated in the warfare as he wars against the Church of Jesus Christ and does everything he can to try to hinder missionary efforts around the world. And so, Lord, I pray that you would just give us a good education tonight concerning our enemy. Help us not to fall prey to some of the tricks that he has played on the Church of Jesus Christ over and over and over again. May we have a Bible-based view. May we commit ourselves to the plan that you've set out for world evangelism. May we not vary from it. May we base it solidly on the Word of God. May we build our missions efforts on a solid rock, on a good foundation, Lord. And I pray that you would help the Church of Jesus Christ. We want to again pray for Derek and Rebecca, Lord. What a blessing as we've kind of emphasized the idea of church planting for this Sunday. And Lord, thank you for their efforts out there in Montana. Bless them tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. How Satan hinders worldwide missions. I hope as a Christian you love missions. I just hope that that's your heartbeat. I will tell you this, Satan hates it. Absolutely detests it. Absolutely hates it. Never has a good thing to say about it. And if he had his way, every missionary effort, every missionary dollar would go somewhere else. Satan hates worldwide missions. Now, in our text here, we see Paul right back as a missionary to one of the churches that the Lord allowed him to start and found and then train elders to take. And he says something interesting in verse 18. "Wherefore," remember, this is a missionary that's saying this, "wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul." Now think about that, even I, Paul. Okay, so he's not saying I would have sent somebody to you. He said, I would have come. But he says, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And so we read in the scripture here and are made aware of the fact that Satan fights missionaries. I mean, Paul arguably was the greatest missionary in the New Testament church, first century of the church, and yet Satan spent a lot of times trying to fight against what he was doing, hinder what he was trying to do, cause problems to come into his life, prevent him from going forward and doing what God had called him to do. Now, Satan has a game plan. He's carefully studied God's mandate for missions. He understands the ingredients that's necessary to have an effective missions program. And so we're going to break down, and I won't re-preach the message from last Sunday night, but if you remember, we gave you some basic elements, Bible elements, that have to be in place if we are going to fulfill the Great Commission to preach the Word of God, the Gospel of Jesus Christ to every creature in all ages. And there's certain things that the church needed to do and had to do in order to accomplish that. Well, Satan knows what the plan is. We mentioned the ingredient of prayer, and we'll mention that in a minute. But Satan fights this matter of prayer, praying the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth labors into the harvest. The Bible plan is door-to-door soul winning, getting the gospel out there. Satan fights that tooth and nail. The one of the ingredients is the preaching of the gospel and preaching of the word of God in our churches, and Satan fights that. The gathering of resources so that we can take people that are called into the ministry and getting them to the mission field, and Satan fights that. Young people, the surrendering for the ministry, whether it be full-time or whether it be right here in their local assembly, again, the devil's going to fight that. Young people being separated and set apart for the ministry and serving the Lord in their local assemblies. What I would like to do is remind you, let me have you go there right now, go to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, and I want to look at this once again, and I'd like to take, again, the basic game plan that God has, the basic plan for evangelism, worldwide evangelism, that he outlines in this verse. And I'm going to go down one at a time, and I want to warn Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We don't want Satan to hinder what God's trying to do in reaching both our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. So we have to be aware of how he works. We have to understand how he works, and we have to make sure that we don't fall prey to his devices. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And so we see that there's four areas. Our Jerusalem, we're going to define that for you tonight. We'll show that, illustrate that for you. Our Judea, which I define as southern Indiana. It's the area outside of Jerusalem, the area that we're closest to, the area that we probably can still have the most physical impact on. Samaria, we're going to expand that out and think of a nation, America, and that's kind of our theme for today, to make sure as we're trying to reach the world, we don't fail to remember to reach our own country. I want to see churches planted in every nation, but while we're planting them around the world, we must plant them at home. We must have church plants here at home. And then the uttermost parts of the earth, and of course, that's the church having a worldwide effect. Now, I said something last week, and I hope that you'll think about this often, remember it, rise to the challenge of it. But folks, I believe this. I believe a small town country church can have a worldwide impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do I think we can have that, I think we should have that. I believe what happens here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, ought to send ripple waves around the globe. And so as much as we possibly can, we want to make sure that we're affecting not just our Jerusalem, but I want to have an influence on southern Indiana. Folks, I'm not just saying this to try to put us up on a pedestal. We're nothing. You know that. Christ is everything. But I had a preacher, and I mean a veteran preacher, come to me about 2 months ago. We happened to be in a meeting together, and he came over to me, and he said, "Brother Jerry, I don't know how to let you know this, and I don't know what for you to tell your people, but you really do not probably understand how important the testimony of the Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana is to the southern Indiana area." He said, "You guys don't think about it. You don't aspire to it." But he said, "All across southern Indiana, your church is known, and it's known as a template for how to do it and how to do it right." He said, tell your folks, don't quit. Don't back up. Don't give in. And folks, I'm just sharing that with you. Like I said, we're nothing, but here's a man that knows southern Indiana, and he hears the testimony of our church. And folks, what we are doing is important, and we have to do it right, and we have to be an example, and we have to be an encouragement. We need to be a help to other church plants and other churches across southern Indiana. And so I'm going to take each of these areas, our Jerusalem, the area that we can physically impact, our Judea, our greater southern Indiana area, our nation, America, and then our worldwide vision. And I'd like to just show you and teach you how Satan tries to fight in each of those areas to keep us from getting the gospel of Jesus Christ where it ought to go. You know that Satan is a defeated foe.
Yes, sir.
But you know what, folks? He's also a determined foe. See, he knows. He's read the last chapter. He understands where his end is. And even though Christ did defeat him on Calvary's cross, it won't be, folks, until later after the millennial reign, where he is finally, forever, once and for all, cast into that bottomless pit where he'll spend forever and ever. And I can tell you this about my enemy. And by the way, he's my enemy. I want him to become your personal enemy, not just the enemy of the church. I mean, I want you to, listen, preacher, I don't think Christians ought to hate. It's okay to hate the devil. Let me just tell you something. God's give us permission to hate the devil. I don't want to partner with him. I don't want to have a partner's plan. I don't want to help him succeed at anything. And sometimes, folks, if we're not careful, even good-meaning people, if you're not careful, you know what? You begin to undermine the very elements, the very things that encourage worldwide missions and worldwide evangelism. So listen with an open heart to me tonight. Let's start with our Jerusalem. Preacher, how does the devil fight a local assembly like Blessed Hope Baptist Church or any local assembly from reaching their Jerusalem? Now, when I talk about Jerusalem, let me show you what I'm talking about. I believe that every church, and I did this very early on, sitting down with my father when he was still pastor here, and I asked him, Dad, if we were going to claim an area of influence for the Lord Jesus Christ, that Blessed Hope Baptist Church ought to try to have an impact. I mean a house-to-house saturation type of an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. Where would it be? And we looked at it. And through our bus ministry and our door-to-door visitation, Jasonville's right here in the middle, and this is Clay County here. This is part of Sullivan County here. And this is about half of the first part of the half of about the western half of Greene County. And this is the area that we try to saturate with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We run buses in just about every neighborhood on this map. There's a few spots we don't, but in most of these areas in this circle, if somebody needs a ride to church, we can get them a ride to church. On a regular basis, there's people from our church into these communities, knocking on doors, witnessing, trying to sign up people to come to church, spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We average about 75, I'd say, to 80 people a week that go out and do some type of visitation, some type of door knocking, some type follow-up visits, some type of visitation. And folks, if they ever, one of them, do that for a couple hours a week, that's a tremendous workforce. And when we work very hard at it, we take it very seriously. But Satan doesn't like that. He's going to fight this idea of reaching our Jerusalem. Now, how has he won in so many churches? Number one, he's determined to help he's determined to influence a church in changing the focus of the church. Changing the focus of the church. Now, folks, go ye. Remember the go ye? Go ye has been replaced by entertain me. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature has been replaced by entertain me, I've come to set, entertain me, preacher, entertain me, program, entertain me, church. Now that is a definition of most of the contemporary churches that are out there today that's bought into this corrupt contemporary philosophy in reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just share this with you, and then I've got a lot of things to cover. But you know what? The church, in an effort to reach the world, has bought into a lie. If you have to become the world to reach the world, then you haven't reached the world. The world's reached you. Let me say that again, if I can remember how I said it. Amen. If you have to become the world to reach the world, then you haven't reached the world. The world's reached you. And change the focus of the church. The church was not designed to be a place where we devise entertainment that is pleasing to a worldly culture. It is supposed to be an army that goes forward in holiness and in separation and with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a light that shines because of our good works and goes into the community to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the focus has been changed in many of the churches. Entertain me brings selfishness. Entertain me brings an inward look instead of an outward burden. And entertain me in this culture brings in a lot of corruption into the church. So the devil's determined to change the focus of the church. Number two, the devil's going to try to convince church members that ye does not mean me. I remember what I had you say last Sunday night. Let's do it again. Ye means me. Say it again. Ye means me. Say it again. Ye means me. The Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He's talking about every individual. And if he can convince a large percentage of the church members that ye does not mean me, Now, that's for the preacher to do. That's for the staff to do. That's for a handful of bus workers to do. That's not for all of us to do. Then what he will do is he will defeat the idea of reaching and saturating our Jerusalem for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into his harvest. And we can only effectively reach our Jerusalem based on the percentage of people that will labor in the harvest fields. And that means going out and taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people. What else is Satan doing? He wants us to concentrate on just the first part of the Great Commission. Now let me say this, folks. I just promoted soul winning. I'm all for soul winning. But if we're not careful, we don't follow up properly on our converts. I want to thank the bus workers, first of all, that went out there and found that young lady and got her to church last Sunday so she could hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I commend you for that. I commend the Sunday school teachers that were prepared to teach her. And you know what? I came ready to preach the gospel, and God spoke to her heart. But you know what I'm equally excited about? That those same workers went back to her house this week and explained to her baptism. And we got a phone call. Preacher, plug the baptistry in. And you know why? Because go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so our job with that young lady, was her name Angela, is that right? Andrea, was not, listen, our job with that young lady did not end last Sunday morning when she got saved. It started last Sunday morning when she got saved. And so we can't just concentrate on the first part of the Great Commission. We must, and I gave you the breakdown last week, I won't go through it again, but the idea of winning somebody and discipling them and training them to help you win somebody else, that plan works. The Great Commission works. And yet if we concentrated fully and just on soul winning and we didn't disciple, you know what? We would be failing miserably in carrying out of the Great Commission. So this is how the devil fights and hinders worldwide missions. He starts by getting the church to be lax in reaching its own Jerusalem. Number four, what else does he do? He cripples the church through personal agendas and petty divisions. Look right up here, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're not immune from this. We're not immune from that. Preacher, I don't understand sometimes why you just don't get upset as I do about all the little petty stuff. You just don't take it as serious as I do. You know why? Because I got my eyes on a whole bigger picture. And I'm not going to live on that level. Y'all just go ahead and do it. I mean, those of you that are determined to do it, you know, you know... The gossips. Oh, we don't gossip. We just gossip about the gossips. All right. If that makes you feel better, but that still makes you a gossip. That still makes you a gossip. You're as much a problem as the ones you want to claim is the problem. And at some point, you know what? Christians ought to just grow up a little bit. Christians oughtn't to let every little thing that happens, every bump in the road, everything, you know, it's amazing. I've got Christians now that are walking around interpreting looks. Well, I saw in the foyer, and they looked this way, and I think, are you nuts? I mean it. Have you lost your mind? Really? That's the focus of your life. God bless you. And you know what? The devil's won in your life. The devil's won in your life. In the middle of Missions Emphasis Month, I promise you, this month, Satan's going to try to start this little thing and this little thing. And next thing you know, somebody's going to decide to get on their soapbox and their personal agenda is more important than worldwide missions. And be careful what you get caught up in. Most of the people that get off track and something becomes more important than them are not listening to the preacher in the pulpit. They're listening to some parachurch organization outside that's influencing them and trying to convince them that they have a better plan than God does when it comes to reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, be careful about that. I mean it. Be careful about it. I'm so tired of pettiness. Preacher, are you going to stay on this for just a minute? I think I will. I'm so tired of pettiness. I'm so tired of warming bottles. I'm so tired of the nonsense. And I lost my passy and can't find my blankie. And at some point, church, you know what? The Church of Jesus Christ needs to grow up. Good night. If I had a hissy fit like sometimes some of you do every time I heard a negative thing or was exposed to a problem, or good night. Listen, I've got my eyes on something a lot bigger than that. And I'm not going to be drugged down into it. I'm not going to run around with a fire extinguisher trying to put out every little fire that somebody... I'm not going to do it. Sorry, I'm kind of busy. The world's dying and going to hell. Excuse me. I don't have hour upon hour upon hour to chase down petty nonsense. And by the way, you shouldn't be involved in it either. Now, church, listen to me. Don't let the devil do this. Say, preacher, why do you hit this so hard? Because I promise you, if you continue to let that happen and that cancer spreads in this church has the potential to be like every other little bickering group of Christians that are sitting around, handful of them. The church has all but died. And all they're about's them, and all they're about's what they're upset this week, and all they're about's nan. And folks, they're a dime a dozen out there. Now we ought to have a church. 39 years this May. We'll celebrate our 39th anniversary. There ought to be a little depth of maturity here. The Bible's been preached. Pastor Ross was not derelict in his responsibility of grounding this congregation into the Word of God and feeding us, not just milk, but meat. We ought to be adult Christians. I'm not talking about some of you that are brand new. I'm not talking about some of you that are newly saved. But I'm talking about some of us that have some years on us. And we shouldn't be blown around with every wind of doctrine and every little nonsense that comes along. We ought to be focused. We ought to have the maturity to handle situations. We ought to have the maturity to shut down situations that need to be shut down and handle it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And so don't let, but that's the devil's plan. He wants to get you so stirred up all the time over all the undercurrents that you lose focus on the main thing, the real thing. Listen, young lady, listen to me. Dear Christian, listen to me. If you've got time, 3 or 4 hours this week, to sit there on your cell phone gossiping about people in the church, and you don't have time to go soul winning, man, I wonder where you could find time to go soul winning. I wonder where you could find time to do it. Okay? So let's not lose our focus. Number five, you know what? He wants to do? He wants to cool off the fervency of the pulpit. He wants this not to be a place where there's a fire built. He doesn't want preachers saying what I just said. He wants politicians in the pulpit instead of prophets in the pulpit. He wants preachers to wet their finger every week and see which way the wind's blowing and take a poll and find out what people do like and what they don't know. You know what we need? We need men of God that will stand up with the Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord." There has to be in the pulpit a man that keeps the church with a vision for lost souls and a vision for a world dying and going to hell. And folks, so we need that. Thank God for the men that's come to this pulpit and the ones we'll have this month and the ones we'll have this year as we have our preaching conference and our revivals. And we'll have Brother Comfort just in a few months here coming in preaching a whole week on prophecy. Why are you doing that, preacher? Do you ever think about maybe there's a reason behind all this? Why would you bring Ron Comfort and have him spend a whole week on prophecy? Oh, so we can figure out what the big toe on the beast might represent, or big toe, never mind, but what that might represent. But no, I'm doing that because I want to stir the Church of Jesus Christ with the idea that Jesus is just at the door. I believe he's not just at the door. I believe his hand's on the handle of the door. I think Gabriel's warming up the trumpet. I think we're that close. And I want to bring him in to stir us up. That's what evangelists ought to do. That's what guest preachers ought to do. I don't want somebody coming in here. And I know, bless God, we're all for encouragement. And we try to preach some encouraging messages. And I know that you need that. And some of you, you're only happy when you hear that kind of message. But you know what? For every one sermon we need on encouragement, we need probably 10 on exhorting us just to get busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he wants to cool off the fervency of the pulpit. He wants to create, watch this, a lukewarm environment through compromise. Now, I think I mentioned this to you a while back, but let me say it again. You know what? A lukewarm church does not produce fervent young people and full-time Christian workers. It just doesn't. It just doesn't. I've watched God bring young people out of homes and call them into full-time ministry. I've watched him bring them out of two types of homes. First type of home is a home that's got some fervency when it comes and some seriousness, some dedication about the work of God. And I mean a hot, red-hot home. I mean parents that are real and parents that are dedicated and parents that read their Bible, parents that pray. I see full-time workers coming out of those type of homes. Sadly, the second kind of home I see God bring full-time workers out of is lost people's homes, drunkards' homes. Yeah. Isn't it interesting? God can reach into a cold home and bring out a full-time worker. He can reach into a hot home and he can bring a full-time worker. I have never, I'm telling you, hand on my butt, never watched a lukewarm, play-the-game Christian home produce a full-time Christian worker. Ever, never, ever, never, ever. And what we better understand is this, folks. If God, if Satan can create a lukewarm environment through compromise in our homes and in our church. Preacher, man, if we just let up on this, we just let up on this, we just let up on this, we'd have more people. We might have more people, but we wouldn't be producing anything worth shooting. We wouldn't be producing any soldiers. We wouldn't be producing anyone to go out into the harvest field. It may sound like a good plan, but check out their young people. It doesn't work. I said it doesn't work. And so that's his plan for destroying our Jerusalem. Now, folks, listen to me. We're going to energize some things in our spring program. We're going to continue with our theme on families, and we're going to have a spring program surrounding the idea of families reaching families. We're going to do some training and teaching and preparing through the month of March to teach you how to do this. But you know what? You and your family ought to be having an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ on a weekly basis somewhere within this circle. Is that true of your family? Is it true of you? You need to get on board. We need 100% participation. Everybody can do some. Everybody can do some. And we must be involved in reaching our Jerusalem. Number two, what about the Judea, preacher? What about southern Indiana? I mean, we're trying to reach our Jerusalem. Isn't that enough? Well, the Bible says that we are to be witnesses both, B-O-T-H, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea. I believe that we ought to also, Blessed Baptist Church, carry a burden and a concern for our region of the country here, our southern Indiana. I believe something. I really mean this. Somebody said once, do you believe that we could ever have a national revival? I don't know the answer to that. I'm not gonna ever say no as far as what God could do. I'm always going to root for revival. But I'm going to tell you this. I don't know if it's possible. I don't know if we have Christians that are serious enough about it. I don't know if the churches are in a state so that God can bless with that type of revival. I don't know. But I really do believe this. I believe before Jesus comes back, we could have some tremendous regional revivals in our country with just an unusual harvest, an unusual reaching of people for Christ. I mean, just something that you only read about in books. And I got the conviction to believe that southern Indiana is ripe for that kind of a harvest. Now, it's not going to happen just by Blessed Oak Baptist Church. It's going to happen if other churches begin to get the victory, and other churches get on fire, and other churches begin to follow the Bible pattern, the pattern of the book of Acts, in reaching their community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Satan doesn't want Blessed Hope Baptist Church to have any influence. If they're going to influence their Jerusalem, and I can't completely stop that, I can't, but I don't want to have an influence outside of that circle. So what's he going to do? Well, he's going to try to foster a selfish attitude in our assembly. If it doesn't put a dollar in our plate or a body in our pew, we don't want anything to do with it. Now, folks, listen to me. I believe this, and I don't know. I've heard nothing but positive. I have no reason to believe anything but positive is being said. And I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I mean it. But I'm going to tell you something. Be very careful as a member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that you do not murmur or complain against the investment that we're making in the church plant over in Bloomfield. Don't find yourself guilty of that. Well, I just don't know if I'm for that. Well, you and the devil have something in common, because he's not for it either. You know, now folks, listen to me. We cannot get selfish. We've got to get a vision. A church with this maturity, a church with this workforce, we've got to have a vision beyond our Jerusalem. We've got to be willing to make an impact outside of our Jerusalem. I want to show you something, and I think it'll be an encouragement to you. But that circle that I just wrote right there, actually the circle that's on here on this map is a little bit smaller than that circle. But I want to give you an idea of the area that we've claimed, and we on a regular basis do what we can to saturate with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now I'm going to have to show you this. It's going to be hard to see from clear at the back. But this is a map of Indiana. And I drew that circle. By the way, that circle is actually a little bit tad smaller than the circle there. Some of the regions we're reaching are just outside that circle. So if anything, it's a small representation. Now you're seeing this. All right? Are you seeing this? Now think about that. That's one church. Why, yeah, well, we can't preach the gospel everywhere. That's one church. Amen. this is scientific as far as the size of that circle, is I used the top of an ibuprofen bottle. And that's the scientific Bible formula for calculating your Jerusalem. Your Jerusalem is actually the size of the lid of an ibuprofen bottle. And so, amen, not everybody knows that. Only those of us that study the deeper things of the Lord are aware of those type of things. Now, folks, I want to show you something. Why is church planting, preacher? Why is it so important? Why is church planting so important? Let me show you what we're trying to do over in Bloomfield. Let me show you what the vision is. Let me show you the reason we're putting finances in, why we're putting effort into it over there. If the in Bloomfield, the next 10 or 15 years, if they can grow a church near this size, having the same influence and effect in their circle, that'll look what we're talking about.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. That'll look what we're talking about.
Amen.
See that?
Amen.
Now, you see, the devil's figured it out too. So what he's doing is he's doing the best he can to try to keep churches from planting and birthing other churches. I believe that's the Bible formula. I believe a Blessed Oak Baptist Church in the next several years ought to replicate ourselves. We ought to start other churches. Now, I'm going to scare some of you right now, so just hold on a little bit here, all right? Because I'm not done using my ibuprofen lid here. And there's some things that I'm just going to let you know about now, and so that you'll know how I'm getting ready to spend your money. And I want to show you something, folks. I want to show you this. Don't miss this. There are, within striking distance of us, some absolute needful areas when it comes for planting a good, solid, independent, fundamental Baptist, King James, soul-winning church.
Amen.
There's an area right there on the highway between Washington and Lagodi.
Yes,
that needs to reach into both Washington and Lagodi. And those surrounding areas. I'm talking about all the way north through Mount Laura, areas we can't reach all the way to the south. There needs to be a church plant there.
That's right.
So when's that going to happen? I don't know yet. We're just going to follow the Lord. But I'm telling you, I pray about it. Already prayed about it. I drive down there.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I weep over it. I wonder who God's going to rise up, maybe in our church, to do it. Or maybe if God brings in somebody from the outside, that's fine. Maybe our church can help.
Right.
But I'm telling you, folks, that needs to be reached.
Yes, sir.
I'd like us to finish up here next couple years, get done with what we're doing over in Bloomfield, and then just start up something else. And then maybe spend 3 or 4 years strengthening that, helping that, and maybe the Lord have us start something else. Let me tell you another area that absolutely, I'm telling you what, if there's an area right now that is so ripe for an independent fundamental Baptist church, let me draw you another circle here. My high-tech ibuprofen lid. Amen. There you go. Let me show you this. Preacher, if we're spending all this money and sending people out to start these churches, how in the world are we going to... What about us? What about us? What about us? That's going to destroy Blessed Oak Baptist Church.
That's right.
Right there between Vincent's and Princeton.
Yes, sir.
That Toyota plant down there, Brother Abel, has brought blue-collar workers in there, provided jobs. I'm telling you, folks, that area, if we could plant a church about halfway between Vincent's and Princeton, could reach into Princeton and into Vincennes, high population, blue-collar workers. You know what? You build churches, watch this, on blue-collar workers.
That's right.
The common man. That's what Jesus did. He went to the common man.
Yes, sir.
Okay? He didn't chase millionaires. goat down, up to, I promise you folks, I know this area, but if you would go up to where 59 intersects I-70, right there off of the interstate, we could get a piece of ground. There's a church I'm praying for up there too. I talked to the pastor one day. He didn't even know what I was talking to, why I was talking to him. Like, how many do you run? Oh, not very much. Really?
I said, are you discouraged? You thinking about quitting? Giving this property to somebody who's going to do something with it? No, I'm sick and tired. I'm sick and tired of walking, driving by buildings where there's just a little nest of diopathies and a preacher without a back. And they're taking up property in a building that can be used to reach a community for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are you beginning to see what I'm seeing here?
Right now.
Amen.
So, someone asked me one time, Richard, do you ever see Blessed Baptist Church running 1,000 in Jacksonville? And I mean, early on in the ministry, they asked me that. And at the time, I didn't know what the answer was. I know I hate to limit God, but honestly, I look at the population and everything. And I don't know. Like I said, I don't know. I don't ever want to say God can't do something. But I think that God gave me the answer through the book of Acts. I don't think it's a matter of us having to run a thousand.
Yeah.
I think it's a matter of us reaching our Jerusalem to the fullest potential, but at the same time, being in almost every place that I've grown a serpent. You may say, well, preacher, I know of a church that's in that area. And I'm not saying there's no churches that are doing anything in any of these circles. Don't get me wrong. I don't even know for sure all the churches that are in these circles. But I don't know any of them that's making a big enough splash that they're showing up on the radar. I'm going to talk about maybe a good man down there toiling away. But if he's toiling away, has been for 15 years, still preaching the same 25 people, folks. Excuse me, I appreciate his faithfulness, but somebody better get a vision.
Amen.
Somebody needs to get a vision.
Amen.
Sounds like you're against little churches. I'm not against little churches. I'm just against churches that have no desire to be anything but little churches. That's what I'm against. They get satisfied. Preacher collects just enough to get enough money flowing where he can get a little paycheck and he's got a few things and he just kind of puts it on cruise control and sits there for 20, 30 years. Taking up space. The world is not going to be reached unless the Church of Jesus Christ maintains an aggressive attitude when it comes to church planning and starting and reaching people and soul winning and running buses. It still works. It still works. The people that want to say the bus ministry don't work, don't want to work. That's the problem. Yeah, it takes work, but it still works. Still works. And so, how does the devil fight the idea of us reaching our Judea? He fosters a selfish attitude in our assembly. He puts this thought in our mind. Whether we say it or not, we want the money to stay here and we want people here, but we don't care about anything outside of our boundaries. He wants to stop churches from birthing other churches. He wants to create a spirit of jealousy and criticism between fundamental Bible preaching churches and fundamental Bible preaching preachers. Listen, folks, I'm going to ask our church to do something. I mean it. And you know what I'm talking about. Right doctrine, right Bible, right music. But I want you to go out of your way to support some of the meetings that we put the posters up in the back. And I know all the wells, but you know what? We need to let some good Bible preaching churches in our area know that, you know what? We're here, we love you, we're praying for you, we're encouraging you, and we need you. We need to do away with the spirit of jealousy and criticism. Okay? How about our nation, preacher? How does the devil win that battle and prevent or hinder worldwide missions in reaching our nation? Number one, I'm going to give you, I think, the biggest failure that we have. We fail to pray for our nation. We fail to pray for our nation. I'd like to see every single person, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, find a map of the United States of America and keep it somewhere where you pray. Keep it somewhere in your devotional Bible. Just every once in a while, pull it out and pray over the states and pray for the preachers and the churches you know in those states. We have got to get back to praying for America. I don't think that's a cop-out. I don't think that's minor. I think that's huge. You see Nehemiah. Read the book of Nehemiah. Folks, the walls got rebuilt. Where did it start? Chapter 1, prayer. Prayer. man that got broken and fell on his face and wept and fasted over his nation. That's where it started. Revival always starts with prayer. So we need to pray for our nation, Samaria. How else does he get us? Why are we losing a nation? Watch this. We fail as a church and as Christians to follow the formula for national revival. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. And we have got to get serious. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. We have to get serious as a people of God to get back to humility, to get back to prayer, to get back to seeking the face of God, to turn from our wicked ways. Listen, it's time to stop making excuses for our sin and start confessing our sins before God. He says, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, will heal their land. Let me say this, and we're in an election year, but I think one of the reasons that we have given away a nation is our failure to vote our Bible convictions. Failure to vote our Bible convictions. You say, well, preacher, there's nobody to vote for. You know what? It hasn't always been that way, but when God did give us some people to vote for, you know what? We voted our pocketbook instead of Bible principles. Failure to vote our conviction. Well, I'm a member of a union, and they said, why don't you find out what God said? Well, I'm a Democrat. Why don't you become a Christian? Well, I'm a Republican. Why don't you become a Christian? I mean, there's no party that lays a hold on me. What I want to do is open the Word of God and study the principles of the Bible and try to find a man that represents those principles. I said a man that represents those principles. No, I'm just going to go ahead and upset a few of you. I said a man that represents those principles. And I want to vote for that man. And I think so many times we didn't do that. Now I'm afraid God's taken away our statesmen. And what a corrupt system. Breaks my heart. But a failure in our country. Failure to pray for a nation. Failure to the church. The church has failed. Follow the formula for a national revival. I want to get back to that just a second. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Here's a real honest question. You know what? Between you and God, you answer it. When's the last time you ever got on your knees and confessed your sins to God? And the more I'm asking that question, the more I'm getting people to realize, I think, in a nation that we'd somehow have just decided we don't have to do that anymore. Any of you sin this week? I did. So what? We went a whole week and sinned, but we spent a whole week and never confessed our sin? We've just kind of decided. We just sin. And we just don't say anything about it. We sin some more. We just don't say anything about it. We just sin some more. We don't say anything about it. We wonder why there's no tenders. We wonder why there's no heart for God. We wonder why there's no desire for revival. We wonder why there's no tears and brokenness. I didn't say talk about somebody else's sins. Well, we're real good at confessing everybody else's sins. We've become masters at looking around the congregation, figuring out what's wrong with everybody else, and talking about that. But we can't look in our own heart and find our own sin. I mean, on your face. I mean, I'm sorry, God. I mean, God, I'm wicked. Oh, God, help me. I'm so sorry, Lord. And I mean, naming them before God. I did this, God. Please forgive me. I thought this. Please forgive me, God. I treated this person ill. God, please forgive me and give me the grace to make it right with them. If we can't get on our faces and confess our own sins, why in the world do you think that a lost nation is going to come to the church house and confess their sins and get saved? And so a nation has, we failed a nation. We failed. We can point fingers at the abortion crowd all you want to. You can point your fingers at the homosexual crowd all you want to. You know what? They're not the one leading this nation to ruin. It's Christians, apathetical Christian. And I tell you to put your seatbelts on, bring your steel-toed boots tonight. Listen, if we don't hear what I'm saying, are you getting this? Mr. and Mrs., I'm never wrong about anything. Are you getting this? I never apologize about anything. Are you getting this? We're dooming a nation. We're dooming a nation because of our pride and our arrogance. Boy, it's a time we decided at the church, if we're going to have a revival, it needs to start with us. And
get on our face and really do some business with God and get thoroughly and wholly and completely right with God in our own lives. And we might get to a place where we can help a nation. Failure of our children to seize the vision of their forefathers. We're losing the battle. Look right up here. I can go out there and I can work, and we've seen some new converts, we've seen some new families, and we're seeing God add to the church. But watch this. If we are not keeping our own children, if we're not keeping our own children, how in the world is the church going to gain strength? Our own children need to grow up. Get in church. Young men, young ladies, are you listening to me? You need to follow through. You need to be where you ought to be. You need to be involved. You need to catch the vision of what your pastor is trying to give you to you. I mean, I'd love it if somewhere in the dark recesses of some young man's heart, when I held this up, God began to stir something and say, why don't you go there? Why don't you go there? Preacher, God doesn't call everybody to preach. I understand that. But you know what? He calls everybody to serve. The church isn't just failing because we don't have preachers. The church is failing because we got a generation of young people raised in church that want to go out and live like heathens. Well, I'm not called to preach. Well, can you run a bus route? Can you help a preacher? Can you go soul winning? Can you knock on doors? I'm not trying to be mean and cruel, but I'm going to tell you right now. I know of four or five families right over there in the Bloomfield area, saved people, claim to be saved, out of church, that could walk in the door of Brother Gerald's church and triple the size of his core strength group. But you know what? I mean raised in good independent fundamental Baptist churches. Out of the will of God. Sitting around sucking their thumb. Blaming somebody else for being out of church. Amen. Amen. You say, preacher, is the church failing? Now, just look right here and let me help you with something, okay? All right? This is going to shock some of you. But when I was being raised at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, not everybody older than me was perfect. I know that's shocking. It's just shocking. You know what? I had good examples and I had poor examples. If I wanted to, I could have got 18 and said, well, you know what? There's some people that just aren't what they ought to be. Now I'm just going to go out here and not go to church and it's their fault. No, it would have been my fault. Every single person that decides tonight to be out of the will of God can spend the rest of their life pointing fingers and blaming somebody, but it was them, their choice not to be. Now, church, let me help you with that. Next time you have a family member, former member, come to you and want to say, well, you know what, I'd be in church, and you just turn around and look at them and say, don't you feed me that garbage. You're not in church because you choose not to be in church. For every negative thing, you could find 10 positives if you wanted to. For every negative person, you can find real people. It's what you're just looking for a reason not to. Amen. It is good. Amen. Amen. Now go home and practice that. Make sure you do that at the end. Not to. Make sure you do it just like that, all right? I'm sorry, but I ain't listening to it. Baloney. Baloney. Most of you that are in church today could stand up and give testimony. At some point, some church that you went to, there were people that failed you miserably. Well, why aren't you out of church? Oh, my goodness. There's people that were ahead of you that weren't everything they ought to be. Oh, my. Well, why didn't you just throw in the towel? You know why? Because it came down to a day where you had to choose whether or not you were going to serve God. Whether or not you were going to live for God. And you know what, folks? I'm going to tell you something. Jesus is worth serving. Amen. You can spend the rest of your life finding things wrong with God's people, but you won't find anything wrong with God. Amen. He's worth serving. He's worth giving your life to. Failure of our children to seize the vision of their forefathers. How does, and let me just read them to you and we'll be done. How does Satan hinder the work of worldwide missions to the uttermost? He deprives our missionaries of the protection and power that comes through from the prayers of sending churches. You know what Paul said? Brethren, pray for us. You know why? He understood that, listen, you say, well, I know missionaries say, first of all, I need your prayer, but they're really here for, no, first of all, they need your prayers. The failure of a generation to surrender their lives to serve the Lord. We need to be sending out young men and young ladies to prepare to spend their lives serving the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to do it here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'd rather see you spend your life serving God than end up being a millionaire. We We need you in full-time Christian service. We need you to be open to that. We need you to ask God about that. Watch this. We need young, the uttermost. Well, I'm telling you what, I don't know what to do about this, but it's discouraging. We need young missionary families who have been called to make sure that they develop the character and conviction to stay on the field once they're there. I'm just going to say it out loud. Old-time missionaries didn't say, well, I think I'll go for a few years, see how it works out. They said, God called me. Burnt their bridges, gave their life, went, stayed put. We are now supporting some missionaries longer on deputation to get them to the field than they are staying on the field. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Go and stay. Go and stay. Have a Kathy Fitzsimmons experience on the field. Go and stay. Stay. I don't want you home. You told me God called you. Go! Do it! Careful what I say here, but folks, I had a young man recently decide not to go back to the mission field, yet he claims, I got it in writing, he claims in a letter that the 3 years that he spent there, 2.5, 3 years he spent there on the mission field, he personally, this is what it said, personally got to either lead personally or through preaching, saw 40,000 people saved. Then I got one question. Well, I'm not sure I believe that anyway, but if he's going to say that, then I got a question. Why aren't you going back? Where in America are you going to do that? Now don't judge us, because while we were there we saw 40,000 people saved in 2.5 years, but we're not going back. If I went somewhere and saw 40,000 people saved, you couldn't keep me from that place. There's just craziness going on. Craziness. Young men, surrender to preach. Watch this. Surrender to preach. I'll tell you what, I preached about, when I told you this last Friday night, a week ago Friday, and preached at a youth rally, had three young men surrender to preach the gospel, and buddy, I got a hold of them, each, every one of them afterwards, shook their hand, got a hold of them, held them where they couldn't get away, and said, I want you to look me in the eye. Is this real in your life? Is this real in your life? So that means 20 years ago, if Jesus doesn't come back, and God lets me live another 20 years, and I bump into you, you're going to be preaching somewhere. You understand, son, this is everything. This is forever. This is no other dream. This is burning your bridges. This is all you do. You go off, you train, you get ready, you go, and you spend the rest of your life. You understand that. Went and found the next one, did the same thing. We need some young men with some character and some conviction to fulfill the will of God for their life. How does the devil winning in the uttermost, failure of the church, watch this, and we'll end with this, failure of the church to sacrificially supply the resources to equip and send those who are going. And of course, that's one of the goals. We're up front with you. I don't sneak up on you about this. I tell you going into the month of February, folks, listen to me, at the end of this month, we want to spend a month praying. We want to spend a month on our face. We want to spend a month having our hearts touched for a lost and dying world. But at the end of this month, you know what? I would like to see the church step forward and say, we're going to trust the Lord to increase our missions giving for 2012. And some of you need to do it for the first time. Some of you need to trust the Lord to maintain what you're doing and increase a little bit. No, I'm talking about everybody. I'm thrilled with what this church is. I mean this. I'm thrilled with what's it doing. But you know what? If we're doing an amazing job of giving and yet you are not involved and you are not doing your part, then something is not getting to a missionary that should get to a missionary. Failure of a church to sacrificially supply the resources to equip and send those who are going. I hate the devil. I'm sick and tired of watching him fight the local New Testament church. I'm sick and tired of us being so immature that we let him win. The devil is a defeated foe. He cannot have a victory unless we hand it to him. Unless we hand it to him, he can't win anything. So the devil, when he wins, we can't just say, oh, well, you know, greater is he that is out there than he that is in us. That's not what the Bible says. It's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So if the devil wins, it's because we let him. I pray that our church now is a little wiser as far as how Satan hinders worldwide missions. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time that we've been allowed here just to exhort the church. And Lord, some things have been said that need to be said. Lord, protect our church. Help us to keep the right mindset. Help us to keep the right focus. Please, Lord, help us, dear God, to understand that the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The main thing is a lost and dying world. The main thing is getting the gospel, Lord, to the regions beyond. I pray, Lord, that you allow this church to keep a vision for our Jerusalem. And Lord, for those that are laboring fervently in the harvest fields, we need laborers. We need more laborers, Lord. Please, we're praying the Lord of the harvest. I look at our greater southern Indiana area, and Lord, the potential that this church, Lord, could have to impact this entire corner of the state, Lord. It's there. It's possible. Lord, by your grace, we could do it, but I know the devil will fight and fight and fight and fight and fight. He'd rather keep us so busy, tore up and divided and carnal, that we can't see the bigger picture. God, I pray for Brother Gerald. I know he's fighting a battle over there. Lord, he's working hard. Bless that church. Grow that church. Thank you for the new family that joined last Sunday morning, Lord, just for bringing new people in. Thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you continue to strengthen that church and get them to the point. Thank you for giving them a bus last year. Thank you, bus kids are being picked up in Bloomfield, Lord. First time in years and years and years, bus kids are getting picked up in Bloomfield. Thank you, Lord, for that. Pray, dear God, that we'd take a look at the areas around us. I pray that we'd get a vision, dear God, for what could be done. I pray that you'd, Lord, defeat Satan and his attempts to try to stop the church of Jesus Christ. Bless, Lord, our missions emphasis month. In Jesus' name.